This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the April 6, 2012 podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. I'm Natalie Pynchon. I will be reading a summary of some of the articles published by the JNS today. The topics of the articles featured in this podcast are functional neurosurgery, oncology, and vascular disorders. The remarkable medical lineage of the Munro family. Contributions of Alexander Primus, Secundus, and Tertius. A historical vignette by Osmond Chia Liang Wu and colleagues. Among the families that have influenced the development of modern medicine, the Munro lineage stands out as one of the most notable. Alexander Munro Primus was the first of three generations with the same name, a dynasty that spanned 126 years, occupying the chair of anatomy, one after the other, at the University of Edinburgh. He played a principal role in the establishment of the University of Edinburgh School of Medicine and the Edinburgh Royal Infirmary. Alexander Munro Secundus, arguably the most notable of the three, succeeded his father as Professor of Anatomy. He was a highly regarded lecturer and anatomist, studying under great physicians such as William Hunter and Johann Friedrich Meckel the Elder. His most well-known contributions included his work with the lymphatic system, the interventricular foramen, and the Munro-Kelly doctrine. His son, Alexander Munro Tertius, was the last of the dynasty and eventually succeeded his father as Professor of Anatomy. His work included insights into abdominal aortic aneurysms and the anatomy of the genitourinary system. The authors have provided a vivid historical overview of the medical contributions of one of the most famous and influential dynasty of physicians in Edinburgh. Cigarette smoking, a risk factor for postoperative morbidity and one-year mortality following craniotomy for tumour resection. A clinical article by Daryl Law and co-authors. Although there is a large body of literature that has demonstrated the negative health consequences of smoking, generally there is little research that has considered the influence of smoking on neurosurgical outcomes. The authors were interested in the relationship between smoking and intraoperative blood loss, postoperative outcomes, and survival following craniotomy for tumour resection. The study population consisted of 453 consecutive patients who underwent tumour resection between 2006 and 2009 at the University of Michigan hospitals. Of the patients in the study, 237 patients never smoked, 54 quit smoking for at least 1 year, and 162 were current smokers. After adjusting for potential confounders, current smoking status predicted higher intraoperative blood loss, complication risk, and lower one-year survival following intervention relative to patients who never smoked. Patients who quit smoking had significantly higher mean blood loss, but did not have a higher risk for postoperative complications and one-year mortality compared with patients who never smoked. This study suggests that cigarette smoking is associated with poor surgical outcome and lower one-year survival after craniotomy for tumor resection. It is plausible that quitting smoking and implementing strict smoking cessation programs may help mitigate these risks. National Trends in Carotid Artery Revascularization Surgery, a clinical article by Anand Rugani and Travis Michael Dumont. Carotid artery stenting represents an option for carotid revascularization in selected patients with atherosclerotic carotid stenosis. With improvements in technique, successive trials have displayed complication reduction, placing perioperative risk of carotid stenting on par with carotid endarterectomy. However, in multiple trials, carotid artery stenting has never been shown to be superior to carotid endarterectomy for perioperative morbidity. In some trials, stenting has been shown to be worse. Despite this, carotid stenting procedures are performed with increasing frequency in the United States. A trend of increased utilization of carotid stenting is noted. From less than 3% of all carotid artery revascularization procedures in 1998 to 13% of all carotid revascularization procedures in 2008. A corresponding decrease in perioperative combined stroke or death risk with carotid stenting during the same time interval is displayed. Year to year, carotid stenting utilization is demonstrated to fluctuate, corresponding to publication of major carotid revascularization trials. Utilization of carotid stenting nearly doubled in 2005 after publication of the stenting favorable SAPPHIRE study in 2004. It decreased by 21% after publication of the endarterectomy favorable EVA3S and SPACE studies in 2007. The authors state that it will likely continue to fluctuate based on empirical data from carotid revascularization trials. Multimodality management of Spetzler-Martin grade 3 arteriovenous malformations. A clinical article by Paritosh Pandey and colleagues. The Spetzler-Martin grading system is the most common method used to classify and predict surgical risk of arteriovenous malformations, commonly known as AVMs. However, grade 3 AVMs are diverse due to variations in size, S, location in eloquent cortex, E, and presence of central venous drainage, V. AVMs can be categorized by various characteristics as follows. Type 1, S1, E1, V1. Type 2, S2, E1, V0. Type 3, S2, E0, V1. And type 4, S3, E0, V0. These variations may have implications for management and outcome, which were evaluated in the author's study. 100 patients with grade 3 AVMs treated between 1984 and 2010 were included in the study. The occurrence of new neurological deficit, functional status at discharge and follow-up, and radiological obliteration were correlated with demographic and morphological characteristics. The AVMs were type 1 in 28 cases, type 2 in 60, type 3 in 11, and type 4 in 1. Embolization was performed in 77 patients. Surgery in 64 patients, and radiosurgery in 49 patients. The post-treatment mortality rate was 1%. 14 patients had new neurological deficits, 5 disabling and 9 non-disabling. The best outcomes were in patients with type 1 AVMs, which are small lesions. Of the 28 patients with type 1 AVMs, only one had a new neurological deficit. In the 72 patients with larger AVMs, 13 had new neurological deficits. Older age, greater than 40 years, AVM size greater than 3 centimeters, and non-hemorrhagic presentation predicted the occurrence of new deficits. The AVM obliteration rate in the series was 87.6%. There were no differences in obliteration rates between the different types, sizes, eloquence, or drainage of the AVMs. Thus, the authors conclude that new neurological deficits are more common in grade 3 AVMs that are larger than 3 centimeters, while factors such as eloquence and venous drainage do not affect complication rate. The authors propose sub-classifying grade 3 AVMs according to their size to account for treatment risk. Thank you for listening to the Journal of Neurosurgery. To listen to more of our podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org. You can also follow the Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group on Twitter and now also on Facebook.